That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi there, I'm Lauren McGoodwin with Career Contessa coach Shea Burris. Welcome to The Females, a podcast from Career Contessa that delivers helpful, actionable career tips and advice for women so you can be more fulfilled, healthy, and successful at work. Today's episode is the third episode of a special four-part series called Black Women In, which will explore common stereotypes the world has about Black women. If you've missed any of our earlier episodes, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to them. They're all linked in the show notes. So far, we've covered Black women in the workplace and Black women versus white privilege.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shay, a corporate recruiting manager, a Career Contessa coach, and most importantly, a Black woman. And I'm excited to bring the third episode in this series to you. The idea with the series was to open up a dialogue by sharing the voices and stories of ambitious and successful Black women, including advice and knowledge sharing centered around maintaining resilience as Black women. To help in this conversation, I've invited back my three girlfriends, Jasmine Anderson, Stephanie Kimu, and Nevia Bradshaw, to join me in these important conversations.
And now, this is The Females. I'm so thrilled to welcome back Shay, Jasmine, Stephanie, and Nevia to The Females for episode 3 in our special series. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
This episode is focused on discussing the common stereotypes the world has about Black women, how to dispel the myths, and acknowledge the feelings associated with them. We'll also wrap up with actionable tips for combating these stereotypes, but Shay and I decided that we should start at the beginning, which is what exactly is a stereotype and how do they come about? So Shay, I'll pass this one to you to explain this background of stereotyping, which I'm sure could actually be a full episode. I know you're going to make it concise, just sort of in general, and why it's part of all humans.
Thank you for warning me, Lauren. but no, before we go into a stereotype, let's actually step back and determine the root of a stereotype, which is essentially unconscious bias. Unconscious bias or implicit bias is social stereotypes about certain groups of people that individuals form outside of their own conscious awareness. Researchers actually suggest that this bias occurs automatically as the brain makes quick judgments of based on past experiences and backgrounds that are unintentional and can influence behavior. So basically what we're saying is everyone holds an unconscious bias, and it's connected to the various social and identity groups. And sometimes these biases can move down a spectrum from unconscious bias into a fixed, overgeneralized belief about a particular group or class of people. And that's literally the definition of a stereotype. So let's go back. Let me say that again. A stereotype is a fixed, overgeneralized belief about a particular group or class of people, and in this case, Black women.
For this episode, we've decided to just really narrow it down to three common stereotypes, but honestly, this could be a whole series. So I want to start with the first stereotype, which is you're so strong, which Shay, as you pointed out when we were talking about these, I know that really seems positive, but it's actually really negative. So let's start with the you're so strong stereotype that people have about Black women.
It's really intense because I think that Black women are expected to take on the world's problems and smile through it. You know, this becomes your friends. This becomes your family. This is your man. This is the grocery store clerk. This is your coworker. This is your boss. Like, I think that Black women, you know, historically don't get asked how they're doing, how they're feeling. There's a certain unspoken
Like you have to be emotionally strong, physically strong, spiritually, everyone's nodding. Okay.
Literally everything. And weakness is like not a thing that people think is possible from us. And I think in a sad situation, we hold ourselves to a certain standard of being strong, and weakness for us is something that we can't display to anybody. And we do it in private and sometimes not at all. And ultimately like take on the brunt of all the people that are surrounding us.
It makes me think of when I work in international development. So often I'm working on the continent of Africa in spaces that are weirdly led by white people. And I'm also from a country that has been colonized by French people. So I inherently like feel discomfort with French people. And I said that to my white coworkers one time, like, wow, it's really tough being from a country that was colonized by the French. And now I have to work with a big group of them in my country. Like, it's really, gosh, it's really tough. And they were like, oh my gosh, we would have never known. Like, we've been working with you and this group for like 2 years and we would have never known. You're so gracious. And so with strong, I think people also assume we're so gracious because we've been conditioned, especially in professional settings, to put our personal discomfort aside and then ensure that the mission of the organization or the client is put above ours. So we can't say, hey, I don't love working with white guys. I don't like looking at them in the face, in the eyes. I don't want to do that. Like, I can't say French people make me really uncomfortable because I come from a colonized place that was colonized by French people. Like, I can't even go in and just speak to black women first because then we turn into like a problem, like you're addressing the black person first. And so there are all these things that make us the strong archetype of strength, but also like it's that analogy of we're setting ourselves on fire to keep our institutions burning, to keep our institutions warm, our coworkers warm. And so it's much bigger than just like, oh, she's so strong. It's like we're killing ourselves. We're kind of killing ourselves. Like weathering of the body, not being able to conceive, not being able to keep a relationship in the way you want to. It's like, gosh, like it's a really serious topic. I know we kiki about it, but I think black women are really killing ourselves over the strength stereotype professionally and personally, but really professionally.
Yeah. And Steph, may I add, just to piggyback off of the conception piece, we're killing ourselves and we're also being killed for our strength. And so strength plays out in also this strength stereotype plays out in our societal systems, especially of course healthcare, where black and brown women are 4 times more likely to die during childbirth than our white peers. And you know, the CDC specifically on the CDC website states that this is a matter, or this is because of physician bias, that black and brown women can handle more pain than other races. Literally, physical pain is that we do not have the same nerve receptors in our body, the same number of them. And so, you know, this also dates back historically. You know, when we talk about gynecology has been built on the backs of black women. And, you know, James Morrison Sims, they call him the father of gynecology. He had performed barbaric acts on black slaves, black women, in the name of gynecology, with the notion that black women didn't feel any pain whatsoever. So now we have this idea that black women are strong that is literally embedded systemically into the very systems that are supposed to alleviate our pain, make us well, make us better, and yet they are actually killing us. We all know about, you know, the young woman who was only 19 years old. Please feel free to hit us up and let us know her name. Forgive me, I'm missing her name. Who went into the doctor's office in New York City, complained of pain, and went home and she passed away. Her and her baby did not live because the doctor did not believe her when she said something was wrong with her body. And that is a belief that physician was probably taught when they were in medical school. Our professionals, the professionals that are supposed to be the governing agencies and the governing bodies are operating on this belief. That is scary.
Yeah, I think what you guys bring up is an interesting topic because I really do feel like this complex of strength in Black women was honestly socialized historically.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has been, it's a view that was passed down from slave owners and from fellow slaves. Like, and just even thinking about the way like my family is socialized, like I can still think about like my nenen, who is one of my grand aunts, you know, Granny Liz and all of the people back home on my island. And I just think about them like, they're farmers. They didn't have husbands that were farmers. They were the farmers. They worked their own land. They, you know, cultivated, they raised children, they worked, they, you know, were able to read and learn things on their own and all of those things. So when I think of strength, it's hard for me because I think about them and how, just in fact, how strong they are. But then when I look at it, I'm like, wow, you never really took time for yourself. You never really fed yourself, your soul, your spirit. And that's in so many different ways. It is in a lack of love and a lack of an equal partner. It is in just fulfilling actual life dreams. Like I think, you know, Nenen, for example, she was someone who probably was a farmer and did the things that she did because her dad was, or her mom, you know what I mean? It was like passed down. So I don't know what Nenen actually wanted to do, but you know, it would have been something that would be great to know and talk about. And, you know, I know that she's happy and that she's lived a happy life and all of those things. But I think we are so characterized by that one socialized learning that we are strong and can basically put up with anything, that it's bleeding into our existence in the medical field, in professional fields, just in real life. And it's, you know, to your point, Jasmine, it's scary.
Mm. We've been ripped of the choice. Black women no longer have the choice to be strong. No one is asking us like, can you, is this something you can sustain by yourself, or do you need help? Is it is okay telling us it's okay to have a moment? It's okay to not be okay. No one is, that type of language doesn't necessarily exist from, never. And so we never have the choice to be strong. I think from, just like you said, historically, back to slavery, when you had families that were ripped apart, when you had men that were sodomized in front of their wives and their sons, when you had women that were forced to raise their children by themselves, when you had, the list can go on, right, of all of the ways and that have contributed to this. But women historically have been forced to be strong. And so that notion just comes to mind that, oh yeah, they're all strong. They can all handle it. To be ripped of the choice is the most...
I mean,
unfortunate thing.
I agree with you. I mean, essentially, people are asking Breonna Taylor in her death to be strong. Like, we can't even get to a place where the justice system acknowledges and recognizes that this was a wrongful death situation. This was utter negligence by the police. And I feel so strongly for her family. Like, my heart will continue to go out for them, because even with a settlement, that cannot replace a life, and that cannot replace the legacy, and that cannot replace all of the positive space that Breonna took up in our world. And it's angering to me that we're here.
Yeah. And I feel like with all of that truth that Black women shoulder, that's our personal life, that we can't even show up and show to anyone professionally. Can you imagine being like, I need a moment because I feel so distraught about Breonna Taylor because of my sisters, because I'm thinking of y'all on this call? There's no space professionally for us to even unpack these things. Like I, when people, even when I think about the introductions that people give me when I have to start speaking, and they're like, Stephanie went to school here. Stephanie went, I'm like, fuck that. You know, like I have a Black husband. Like I don't feel safe within feminist spaces. Like, say some real shit. Put that in my intro. Like, that's my real...
That's my narrative. That's my real narrative.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we don't have space to use our narratives professionally. Mm. We don't even have space to let our hair grow the way it comes out of our head sometimes.
Professionally. Back to episode one. Drop that. Episode one.
I just feel like we're talking about our personal burdens as Black women, but like, can we disrupt our professional spaces with these burdens? Can we create, I don't know even what it could be, like, and
yes,
I
ask, we can.
Can we too?
Like, yes, what can we can.
professionally for us to be like, I'm not just a Georgetown grad. I'm a Black woman with a Black husband who align. These are my politics.
Mm. Yeah. I wrote some notes. I remember because I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, I want to like specifically notate some important things. And one thing that came up for me was like, because of this strong narrative that other people have built around this, we become an emotional receptacle to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like emotional receptacle, especially to like non-Black women too. Like because mm-hmm. the strong Black woman, you are like the person who's like supposed to show up at every occasion in a certain way. So they've already expected you to be like, I'm calm, I'm problem solving, I'm thinking, I'm compassionate, I'm all these things, when sometimes you don't feel any of those ways. Mm-hmm. And like, because of the narrative, like one of the things that I think about is like, I've been professionally penalized because of this strong woman narrative. I remember I sat across from my boss and I was talking to her about how, you know, the next step was like, it was critical for me to get a bigger team because I, you know, looking at the job list that we had, it was growing, et cetera, et cetera. And she said to my face, well, I just don't know how, you know, you go into the office with the CFO every week and you just like have it all together. You go in and you've got your list and you're telling him you're moving it along and you're going and you're going. And, you know, I think he just thinks that you've got it under control. And I had to keep myself calm from leaping over the table because mm-hmm. all I thought was, how dare you? Mm-hmm. And what I said to her instead was, so I'm supposed to not go to, like, I'm supposed to go to his office and be crying, mm-hmm. at his door. And is that what's going to get me my way? I said, that's not how I move. He's the CFO. It is my job to go in there and have my shit together. And that does not replace the fact that I am dying here covering all 60 of these positions. And I was like, so I just want to be here. Like,
talking about their systems of rewards and punishment professions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
We have to stop fucking with, oh, sorry, Lauren. Stop making these more palatable.
Yes.
Palatable. The fact that she had the audacity to tell you that your strength, composure, and preparation will not allow you to get more staff, that is the most preposterous thing. You would never say that to a white girl.
I was just about to ask that, if you feel like if you presented yourself the same way, would you, as a white woman, would you have received the same response?
And I said the exact thing to her and I used a coworker name. I said, and so if I was X, Y, and Z, I would have gotten the thing that she got, right?
Okay. Because
the exact opposite. One of his direct reports went to his office on the advisement of me. She came to me crying and said, here they go again with the white women crying. Came to me crying saying she was dying. And that she needed help. She needed a strategy on how to ask for more headcount, blah, blah, blah. And I told her what to do. And she went up there and she fell apart and she fell out into tears. And then she got two new positions.
All right, let's take a quick break to talk about Issue. Just like this very important episode of The Females, creators around the US and the world are working hard to teach, empower, and change the status quo by creating valuable and thought-provoking content. It's exhausting work for many, and that's where Issue comes in. When you've created something amazing that you're ready to share with the world, there tends to be some last-minute details that hold up things. When you have an important story to share, Issue is the all-in-one platform designed to remove complexity and help you distribute beautiful, eye-catching digital publications. Simply upload your PDFs and files, and Issue transforms them using your vision. With Issue, you can create your content once and distribute it everywhere. Everything is optimized to post on your website and across your social platforms. It's very much one and done. It's going to save you so much time. That's right. This is the last time you have to sift through complicated file names like final_final_for_real_Facebook123 JPEG and all those other things. Just find the asset you need. You don't actually have to try to speak another language to figure out what did you name that file. You can get started with Issue today for free, completely free, you guys. Isn't that awesome? Or if you sign up for a premium account, you'll get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcasts and then use the promo code females. So Issue has kind of a funky spelling. It's I S S uu.com/podcast. And then you're going to use the promo code females to get 50% off that premium account. But remember, you can get started for absolutely nothing, no dollars, no nothing, if you just go to issue.com today. So again, for the special offer, it's issue.com/podcast, and then use the promo code females at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. Maybe you've already been using Issue, so you'll get that premium account. So once again, issue.com/podcast with promo code females. All right, now let's get back to the show.
Hi, I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. We're the co-hosts of a podcast called A Thing or Two. It comes out every Monday, and the basic premise is this. We share all the stuff we think more people should know about.
So that's apps, recipes, books, the nationwide Haagen-Dazs vanilla bean shortage that nobody else was talking about.
No one.
Our preferred vacuum brands, of which we have multiples, and critical explorations of our unique approaches to paper towel usage.
Listen, we think you're going to like it. A lot of people do. And who's to say you'll be any different? Listen and subscribe wherever it is you listen and subscribe to podcasts.
The next stereotype is angry black woman, which I'm sure there was a thought that went through your head, like, the minute I speak up about this, I'm going to be pegged this angry black woman coming. That was our next stereotype, which I feel like there's a segue into this from here.
But I also want to just drop episode two. This reminds me of
all of these are going to be in the show notes.
This reminds me of how Stephanie's experience with the workspace that you had a really bad experience with, and how they said that they're not set up to advocate for you. They're just not set up to give you the resources as a black woman or to support you as a black member of the organization, which was completely crazy. And Shay, to your point.
We're talking about angry black woman. I think the new angry black woman professionally is divisive. This is what I've been called the last couple of weeks often. Not angry, but divisive, which means me speaking out about inequity, racism, white supremacy, and how it manifests professionally is divisive. And so I want to know how to translate that, how you guys feel. But I feel like anger, divisiveness means please shrink yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Others feel more comfortable.
Because don't take up too much space.
Is that
your actual self?
Well, if you ask some CEOs, we don't even exist. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard, but the Wells Fargo CEO a few weeks ago said that the black talent pool is limited, quote mm-hmm. unquote. And I said, oh, well, he just must not know. He doesn't know what's out there. So I was offended, one, for... You know, obviously, because I am a part of the black talent pool that I think is has so much depth and so much character, and our potential is limitless. And I'm waiting for my friends to get the things that they deserve. Not only my friends, but people I see out here just on Instagram through research that are really claiming and owning important spaces that they should. But two, it kind of goes to your point, Stephanie. They want us to be invisible, or they want us to be they want it to be true that there is this one black girl who works at their company, and every week that she goes into the CFO's office, she has it together. But I don't know how she does it, because you know she's that really strong black girl, and she's the only one we know. That's their constant fallback. It's like we're a mythical creature, the professional black woman, and I don't understand it. So yes, I am angry about that.
Also, what Stephanie was saying, we didn't put this as a stereotype, but there is a stereotype about office pet versus office, what is it, threat? It's like from pet to threat. The stereotype is an angry black woman, someone who's speaking up, who the company loves in the beginning, and then basically she gets on their nerves because she speaks up enough. I think what's ultimately kind of happening is people are maybe like, oh, don't say angry black woman. That's like... blinking neon flag, you're not allowed to say that. But we can come up with these subtle, as you said, Stephanie, you know, we can come up with these other words to describe exactly what you guys know that they're talking about.
More damn microaggressions. Like, you come up with a whole new term to call me exactly what I'm not. And I think what I was going to say too about this angry black woman, and it ties back to that one, like about like, oh, you're so articulate, like that one that you hear, like, oh, you have like, you speak so well and like all that good stuff. And it's like the angry Black woman has been like embedded in the community and like in the media and in the world for like, I feel like as long as I've been alive. And it's like connected to, again, like it actually, I feel like it all of the things we're going to talk about today, like all tied together.
Interrelated, yeah.
Yeah, the angry Black woman ties to the You're So Strong, and it ties to the color complex, because all of this shit goes, all this stuff goes back to slavery. And like, when you think about the angry Black woman, and even like the way that the angry Black woman is like displayed on TV shows and stuff, like there's a certain way that she shows up. And usually like the dark skinned girl, she's this kind of kid.
With like, the neck like, rolling and snaps and you're not gonna fuck with me. Sorry, Lauren. Yeah,
like it's all just people. Like there are gonna be lots of bleeps on this episode. Like real angry Black women. But like, and because of that, like, and because of the shows that I feel like I grew up watching, like I worked really hard, and I think my mom like conditioned me to be like different, quote unquote, or like work to fight through a stereotype that I didn't even realize people put upon us. I knew, you know, there were some people that were considered ghetto. Like there was something in the news the other day or a couple weeks back that was like, how is this person ghetto? And it's like, ghetto isn't a color. Ghetto is an action. But people tie ghetto-ness to Black people because they consider the ghetto the hood, and only Black people live in the hood, right? And so you work.
Yeah, because of redlining.
Zoning. No.
Editorial lending.
And so I feel like I've worked really hard to like show up in a way that like is despite the stereotype, like the tone watching, like not having that colloquial conversations that you want to have with your people. Like, you know, that whole like birds of a feather flock together thing, like that was ultimately like set up because you feel most comfortable with people that you're like mostly connected to. There's a commonality, there's a basis. And for us, that's just being Black. You like immediately find like, oh, there's one other Black person in the room. I'm gonna go stand by her. Cool. Because I don't have to like frame myself away to hold somebody back.
But I think you have to normalize our full selves because I don't even know what that professional looks like. I don't know if I would always show up with makeup and concealer and glowy and dewy and didn't sleep because I prepared for 5 hours. But you know what happens when you log on to Zoom with some of these white girls. They got their greasy hair down. They got their
shirt on.
Bobulated. They're like, oh my God, I don't have, it's like, man, wow, I'm killing myself to show up in this way.
Because you have to do it 10 times harder, Steph. Yeah. That's why. You have to do it 10 times harder and you don't get nowhere near half the resources.
Okay. Right. You're only accepted in a polished form.
And that's that's the troubling part too, because when you think about that in like a professional setting, like you think about the 5 hours it took you to like over-prepare yourself to get to know your interviewer, to read up on the company, the values, the mantras, the mottos, to put makeup on just in case somebody puts you on a calendar, puts you on a Zoom call. And then you think about, oh shit, this isn't even me. And then when you show up as your real self, they're like, that's not who we interviewed. So it's the best thing for you to do to be your absolute self when you show up. And that means as bold and as bright. Like I was talking to another girl today about this. She interviewed with Amazon. She came over prepared. She was like asking all these questions. She's like, I'm ready. I'm giving examples. She scared the absolute crap out of this white girl that interviewed her to the point where the interview was supposed to be 45 minutes and it was 25 minutes. And she was like, well, there goes that. And I said, it's of no matter to you to be your absolute self, because this, and she's terrified of you, but like, imagine if you had dimmed yourself down, if you didn't, you answer the questions in the exact way that she wanted you to, if you didn't show the energy and the personality that you had, you would have shown up on day one and they would have been like, that's not who we hired. Who's that? So it's best to show up as your best self at all times.
But so then we're carrying both feeling like, oh, I'm a threat and I'm an imposter, you know, both of those dualities at the same time. Holy shit, I know for a fact I'm a tall, dark skinned, big, boisterous Black woman who is articulate. I think I'm whip smart. I'm doing all these things that are inherently going to make this white woman feel uncomfortable. Along with that, am I even good enough to be with all these white people who work at McKinsey and Deloitte? Like, I'm kind of just a little immigrant. Oh my God. And it's both of those things at the same time. And so that's kind of why it's so terrifying to know which, like, who to show up as, you know, like,
What do you do when you do show up as that person and they don't accept you? Who do you talk to about that? Because then they expect you to be strong and smile through it and work extra, extra hard. So then it's like, what do you do following that?
But you know, when you say what do you do, Shay, and this is probably better reserved for the recommendations at the end of this session. However, I'm finding that, especially talking to you ladies and other Black ladies, that women are currently experiencing amongst this social climate the angry Black woman stereotype even more and more, because they were coming in every day under their imposter, code switching, coming in to conform, coming in pleasing, and then we have all of these slain Black people that we are not, we're not receiving justice for, and these Black women are now speaking out, and they're telling their employers, I do need a minute. No, I'm not strong enough to handle this and power through these presentations, power through my workload. Yes, I do need a safe space where I can talk to other like-minded and Black individuals about what is going on. And all of that to their white peers, and their the white majority is then, you know, seen as angry. You know, she's now speaking out for the things that she believes that she is due for the efforts that she puts out in this workforce. She's speaking out for, you know, the injustices that she sees in her community. And all of that is now the angry Black woman. So you have the strong Black woman that's compounded with the angry Black woman, right? And that's compounded with this whole imposter syndrome. Like, this is the interweaving, everyone. If you are not a Black woman who is listening to this podcast, this is the interweaving of the Black experience. Literally. It is compound at all times.
Where was Jasmine during the debate?
That's some actual information out of that. Here's what we can do to be better. And I know we
rolling my eyes and drinking my wine, girl, because that was
I fell asleep. Out. I was like, when he said shut up, I said, okay, all right, I need a nap. But the one thing I also wanted to mention too, because I was watching some TV show and I kept hearing the term spicy Latina. And you ever think about how like spicy Latina has like a really positive connotation? Like it's supposed to be sexy. Like, and you think about the spicy Latina as like likely is the woman who's like exactly the same as the angry Black woman, but the connotation and the feelings attached to her. The sexy Latina is like sexy and she's confident and she tells it like it is, but she gets to be the sexy Latina. And if I'm confident and self-assured and telling you my thoughts, I'm an angry Black woman. So it's like,
or you're a strong woman who is not allowed to have any off days or off moments.
She's also lighter and less threatening. I mean,
oh, that's the next one.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. So the third stereotype on the list is the color complex.
And go. No.
I just need an official, like, just so people are following. We're on number three now.
So what's important to share is like for the white women that are listening or the non-Black people of color who are not listening, like I think actually the color complex exists in almost every race or ethnicity. I've heard from Asian women that the darker you are, like it's really sad because it's really a global thing that we're talking about with the color complex. I think the people that suffer the most from it are Black women, because we get the color complex connotation and like the light is right and the dark is like, ooh, be worried. And we get it across the board. It's the one that's been socialized across all the races. And it's like the lighter you are for like white men and like, you know, other race men, the more acceptable you might be to their white families. And the darker you are, white men fetishize you. So you become exotic, like this thing. So there's even a spectrum of how lighter skinned women and darker skinned women are treated within our community, outside of our community, cross community. And it's sad.
But professionally, I feel like this shows up with, in my industry, white men are always the CEOs, whether it's Save the Children.
In every industry, white men are always the CEO. Get them out of there.
Tell the truth.
White men are the people at the helm, and most of them are cisgendered white men who are attracted to what? White women. Those are the people who are going to be closest to the proximity of power and privilege. Who's next are the lighter skinned people who are going to then get closer and closer to the power and privilege. And the darker you are, the farther away. So that spectrum that Shay's talking about is a spectrum of accessibility. It's not just the spectrum. The lighter you are, the closest you are to something that a white man at the helm would want to covet, the more accessible you get to professional development funds, to opportunities to travel, to all
relationships,
relationships,
even that within our own community,
like standards of beauty are at the top.
Yeah, yeah, seeing yourself in toys, seeing yourself on TV, seeing yourself as something that was not like deemed as manly. Like even when you talk about like this too, like this goes back to slavery. I feel like all of these stereotypes go so far back historically, because you remember there was the house slaves and the field slaves. And the house slaves were the acceptable lighter skinned slaves, and the field slaves were the ones that were in there to do the hard work and the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about advice. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not here to say, poof, the stereotype is good away. But people who are listening to this who are saying, I totally relate to what you're saying. I feel these stereotypes on me. It's 2020. This is the environment we're in. What can they do? What is your advice for Black women out there?
My personal advice is to show up as your true, authentic self, whatever that means to you. If you like to wear your hair natural, if you like to wear your hair permed, if you like to wear a wig, do you, do your thing, have your personality, use your hands when you talk if that's how you feel most expressive. Because for me, being in a space where you are not accepted or where your imposter is accepted over your authentic self is more damaging in the long run than conducive to short-term success. You have got to say fuck those people who don't fuck with you.
Yeah, but I was about to say, it's ultimately a place that you don't belong, right? That's not where you need to be. And we need to, and I know that we've been so conditioned to think, unfortunately, and I know Black women, I hate to say this, but in a scarcity mindset, just as Stephanie said, you become, the darker you are, right, the less access you have to the things of the world. But we need to start creating those spaces for ourselves, for all hues of the spectrum. And we need to start. A change is not going to happen within, and I'm only speaking for us with regards to our community. Change is not going to happen until we get out of the white man's helm, out from up under their jurisdiction. And I know a lot easier said than done, but you do not belong in those spaces, as Nebia said.
I think we are our biggest advertisements. We are our biggest change agents. So, you know, Lauren, I know you that you teased that the stereotypes won't be gone, but if I can talk to, you know, five people about my four Black friends that are amazing, and this is why you should, you know, talk to Jasmine about your resume and talk to Shay about Career Contessa and talk to Stephanie about PopWorks and all the things that she's doing. Like, I am the plug for all of my friends and access to showcasing how you guys are amazing. And I'm going to keep doing that.
Yes.
My advice is letting this be healing work, right? Like, I feel like all of us are internalizing white supremacy and white supremacist standards. And we can't be like, let's dismantle it outside of ourselves if it's dismantled within ourselves. And so, like, can we prioritize that along with telling white people what to do next in terms of racism and in terms
Come on, Stephanie, tell them the truth, because that is literally going to shake the ground for us. That is truly going to evoke change. And as Nevia said, that we are our own change agents. So that means that we need to do it internally within ourselves, within our own community, and let that be a rippling effect outwardly.
Yeah. And so back to what I was saying, which is still, it's still greatly tied into what you're saying, because ultimately the advice that we're giving is that if you can't figure out how to do this for yourself, start with asking yourself questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, remember the spaces that you're in. And we talked a little bit about it in the beginning. Ask yourself, does this person make you feel safe? Do these people make you feel safe? Does this environment make you feel safe? Ask yourself, can I be open and honest with the people around me without penalty or judgment. Then say, am I around people or persons that inspire me? And if the answer is no to all of those questions, remove yourself immediately. We're in a place and a space where all you have are the choices you make and the choices you don't make. So make choices to put yourself around people that protect your psychological safety. You might have to cut some people off. You might have to leave some jobs. You might have to say no to some interviews. So when you are like saying and promoting the people around you, some people might not make it. and be okay with like letting that go. Because our psychological safety, and as we round this out, we are going to talk about how Black women wind down in the next episode. But psychological safety is key for keeping ourselves healthy.
And if you're not okay with that, then see therapist.
That's it. Next episode. Therapy.
Yes. Okay, for mental health, mental wellness. Yes.
Thank you, ladies. That is amazing. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Females. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review. We absolutely love hearing from you all and reading the reviews.
If you missed any of the earlier episodes of the series, remember that we've linked them in the show notes. We've already covered Black women in the workplace and Black women versus white privilege. And a big thank you to my girls, Jasmine, Nevia, and Stephanie for lending their voices and stories to this episode.
And I should just mention, if you guys want to learn more about Jasmine, Nevia, and Stephanie, all of their information is also linked in the show notes. And don't forget that Shay is one of our incredible career coaches through our service called Hire a Mentor. So if you're feeling like it's time to invest in some one-on-one personalized career coaching, but don't know where to start, we've totally got you covered. And you can learn more about Hire a Mentor and how to book Shay all in the show notes.